This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation, a football Friday here on 105.3 The Fan Training Camp 2022. Coverage brought to you by Metter Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and by Twin Beaks as we are off and rocking here on a Friday. Of course, you're going to have what you're drinking and what you're thinking at 5:30. Eric Nadell's going to join you at 5:20. Bobby Belt has an insider report coming up at 5 o'clock. But, guys, it is our last day in Oxnard before returning back to DFW. So I want to go around the broadcast position here, get your thoughts. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl winning scout, Wolchuk and Schiafalo. Got Lucius Alexander back in the Pimp Cup at Master Control once again. And Carter Freeman coordinating your video for you at 105throughthefan.com and Twitch and YouTube. Broaddus, tell us about it. Your lasting impressions of Oxnard 2022. What are you taking with you on that plane this afternoon?
Taking with me the fact that every bit of faith that I had in this defensive staff, Dan Quinn, with Joe Witt, all these guys, AD, I think that this defensive side of the ball is the best coach side that they have. And they need to pick some things up, I think, some offensively. But I love the way that this team practiced on defense when I was here. They had a little bit of a bump in the road just in the one-on-one stuff with the defensive backs. But overall, every practice that I watched, I felt like the defense was on point. I thought they were ready. I thought they were prepared. I didn't see any busts out there that were just really noticeable where there's huge plays given up. I everything that I felt about the defense coming in is coming to light. The offense, I think, it needs a little bit of work.
I love that. The defense is ready to rock.
I think they're ready to play.
There's no doubt they're going to be good. You know, top 10, locked. Top 5, probably. Can they be transcendent? Probably not. But there's a chance and there's a hope for that, Wolchuk. What's your lasting impression here as we go into a football Friday?
The defensive line, man. I think the defensive line dominated a portion of every single practice, especially with the pads on. We talked about the individual one-on-ones that we watched yesterday and how the receivers finally had themselves a good day and maybe Dak and the other quarterbacks. We've had some of these texts come in about how the backup quarterbacks have looked, and in reality, the answer is not very good. And why is that? They have had no time, because if it's the first team D-line, the second team D-line, I just think I'm more solidified in the fact that that is the best position group on this roster.
Brian's been telling us about it for 3 or 4 months.
No,
I believe.
Doubt. Yeah. And it's inside out. I think they've done an excellent job retooling the defensive tackle spot. I'm excited about the variety of rushers they can throw at edge, and Micah Parsons and Anthony Barr are now thrown in there as well. The question will be when we get into game action, the run defense, right? Did they actually improve the run defense? That's something we can't really tell out here, but I'm very bullish on this defensive line entering the season.
Yeah, big reason that, I think they have a chance to be significantly better than last year is those guys. They've been investing, but not top-tier type of investments, right? Like middle-round picks or, day two picks at best with those defensive tackles, but they've been doing it for a couple of years now. They added Carlos Watkins as a signing last year. Can one of them break out to real stardom? And if that happens, then I think we'd be talking about, even another level of a jump. Chief, what are your thoughts on where we're going from here?
Well, I'll be co-signing everything that you guys just said. Defensively, there's no question this team is going to be led by the defense, at least at the start. Maybe the offense clicks as the season goes on and Gallup comes back and everything starts looking pretty nice there. But defensively, no question, that was very impressive. The pass rush was very consistent to me all week long, which is extremely exciting. I will do the offensive positive, and I think that the way they're using Tony Pollard, we're all going to love and appreciate it because they're getting him in different looks in terms of he's playing wide receiver, he's playing slot, getting him in motion a little bit. Is he playing running back? All these different things, throwing him the ball out of the backfield and when he's lined up as a wide receiver. So I think that's really encouraging. And then also the CeeDee Lamb and the way they move him around. I would say CeeDee Lamb in general, where it seems like, yeah, we do have one of these guys that's about to blossom into one of these wide receiver number one kind of talents. And then, but the way they're moving him around, and we talk about it plenty about McVay and the Rams and how they get Cooper Kupp matched up against linebackers and just try to find the favorable matchup for their guy. And I think you can see that a little bit with Kellen Moore moving CeeDee Lamb around and trying to find the matchup that they can exploit. And so both of those things are very encouraging for me offensively.
If we had to pick who we think could be our breakout guy, I think for me it's Osa Odighizuwa. I think, you know, just piggybacking off of what you were saying there, General, can one of these guys, especially defensive tackle, take that next step and really break onto the scene? Osa, I think every day stood out to me out here. I think he's about to have a monster season, but I really am buying in. I tweeted it before we got out here to Oxnard. I think CeeDee Lamb can have that DeAndre Hopkins, like, third-year breakout season. There's a lot of comps there. Third year for DeAndre Hopkins was the first year he didn't have Andre Johnson with him in Houston, and he really solidified himself as that wide receiver one. I think there were a lot of similarities in both of their games when you scouted them coming out of Clemson and out of OU. Just the way that they are with the ball in their hands, their route running, just the way they play the position. I think CeeDee Lamb's just about to be an absolute beast this year.
I agree. I think mentally for the game planners, you know, last year could have been a little bit of a trap because we have so many options. Let's just go to where it's open. Where now it's more like, guys, we got to get the ball to CeeDee.
Right.
And maybe that priority, that emphasis on getting the ball to your best playmakers can actually make them a little bit more dangerous, even though they have less firepower, especially until Gallup comes back. I think right now, coming off of yesterday, I have a little bit more Trevon Diggs anxiety. That's something I'm going to be boarding that plane with. Like, okay, you know, how real is this with him as an all-pro level player?
Well, you saw what happens when he doesn't get his hands on receivers. Mm. His, when he, the play that he got smoked on, which everybody's seeing right now on Twitter.
There's multiples.
Is the one, especially the one with Simi Fehoko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is the one where he went up to stab Simi and he didn't finish it. He didn't. You know, when you don't stop a wide receiver's initial movement, you got to get these guys to reset. It's like blocking defensive ends. You get a defensive end to reset and then have to restart and then do all that, the ball's gone. He didn't do a very good job yesterday, I think, of getting his hands on receivers. Too many. If he's going to play free access game, you're going to see that happen a lot to him. You know, he has got to get up on people, and he's got to jam and redirect, restart, and then get himself in position. If he doesn't do that, and that's what I think that Joe Witt was out there, Al Harris was out there telling him. Like, you know, you've got to get your hands on that
right guy.
Because you go up there and jump like you're going to do it and fake, and all of a sudden that guy says, nah, you're just faking me, and it gets around you. He doesn't have the makeup speed.
So, and you've been doing this for so long, Broadus, and it's such a treat to have you here with us on our show because we can ask you these questions. And Bobby pointed this out during his segment. That one-on-one drill with the DBs and the receivers, and
it's not a fair drill, but
right.
You still got to, if you're successful in the drill, then it shows up too.
Right, it
you
does.
Know, I mean, there's others out there that we're covering. You just saw an example of what a bad Diggs, what he can't do.
Yeah.
He's got to get his hands on that. When he plays free access, they're going to run by him.
No, you're right. And we saw that last year as an issue for him, especially with the double move, and that continued to be a problem for him out here. Even if the ball wasn't thrown his way and he didn't get beat, I think we talked about that during three live mics. Simi Fehoko got him on a double move during 11-on-11s, and ball wasn't thrown that way, but Simi beat him. So this has now gone viral. You look at we were doing prep before the show. You look at Bro Bible. You look at ESPN, NFL.com. People are chatting about this, and people are ripping digs. It goes back to that PFF stuff about the yards allowed. Are people making too big of a deal about this, that one-on-one drill that's set up for the receivers to win, and he gets beat on by CeeDee and Simi?
There's some guys that got cooked yesterday on that one-on-one drill.
Sure.
I mean, there's some guys that got cooked. But,
yeah, Turpin beat Anthony
Brown. But you see the faults of a defensive back in that drill. you see the things that, okay, if they don't do this, then this is going to be a problem.
Okay, mock game today, not much to jump into as far as practice observations from the Friday, but a massive day of sports to discuss with you. There's a great article from our guy Todd Archer on CeeDee Lamb today, talking about the pressure on him to be the man now with Cooper gone and Washington hurt. And among the highlights, more detail on what was happening Monday when he sat out team drills. And I'm making a point here. He said the reason that he sat out is Coach McCarthy's obsession with keeping players healthy.
Right.
And the data from his research is that players are more prone to getting hurt on the third or fourth day. So once you're hitting a number of reps, they're like, oh boy, this guy needs a rest. You know, he is now in a zone where he could get hurt. Brian, they were healthy last year.
Yeah,
if they're healthy again this year, they better copy everything Mike McCarthy's doing to keep these guys healthy before they fire him. That's my only point.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is when those GPS numbers get big, and nothing but these. I mean, let me tell you what. Under the Jason Garrett administration, these corners and DBs and, excuse me, these receivers and DBs run a ton. They used to run a ton. And then Garrett would have them do the old school, you know, line up, let's run a little more, you know. And, like, why? These dudes already run. McCarthy is very mindful of that. You talk to the training staff here. They say this guy does a great job of being very mindful of the player's health. And he monitors those numbers. And so if they feel like CeeDee Lamb's numbers are out of bounds, then they're gonna dial him back, as which they did.
And I like that, especially at that position. I think if you start to power rank the guys you really cannot afford to lose outside of the quarterback position, CeeDee Lamb, he's got to be right at or near the top of the list of, holy smokes, man, we lose this guy, we're going to be in a bit of a world of trouble here. So I like that they're doing that, even with the opening day, with the conditioning drill, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. The conditioning
test.
Well,
he lost Golston last year,
right,
in the conditioning drill thing, and he didn't want to do that.
He's like, we're not doing that again, and yeah. I'm sure the players didn't mind that. They did something, but it was something much less taxing. than the traditional conditioning.
It was the umbilical cords.
That's exactly right. It might have been the umbilical.
Very exhausting.
Chuck.
Yes. No. They look at what when the body gets exhausted. That's not the time to push through and prove how tough you are and get ready. That's the time to bring it back and get a rest, because that's when the body can break down. You know, another thing he's doing that I love. They got construction equipment out here, and this is something for old school GBAG Nationals that thought I was nuts. This goes back to maybe 2012.
Well, you are nuts.
This field's pitted. You know,
yeah,
and it's got holes in it that even as a soccer coach, I would be like, come on, league, let's get this figured out. We have kids running around all over the place. Injuries can happen. So he's got the steamroller out here every night, like you would have laying concrete or asphalt.
Me and Walter got the steamroller out here every night as well.
Yeah, and slowly but surely, he's rolling those fields so they can actually be flat.
Yeah.
I mean, the undulation on some of these greens would make the folks at the Open Championship envious, Brian.
It's pitched. And, you know, and the problem with it is, too, the later it gets, it turns into painted dirt is what they do. You can see them out here. I mean, we'll be leaving, but they'll be spraying down the green paint, and it's really just a sand base. Not a lot of watering. We haven't, I'll tell you what, in all the years I've been coming out here, and I'm not complaining about the weather because it is beautiful, but we've had some high temperatures for them, like 76 degrees, 78 degrees. That's warm for this place. And there's not a lot of water on that field. You used to have that marine layer that would come in, and then they'd have to, like the dew, and they just have to take it off the field. Not a lot of water on this field right now.
Nope. Okay, we got a Mr. Double Highland Park injury situation going on with Matt Stafford. Got a little bit more, as Sean McVay said, his elbow injury is a little bit abnormal for a quarterback, comparing it instead to what pitchers deal with. He received an injection during the offseason, but it didn't help that much. And he's saying they're being smart with the throwing arm. And then Clayton Kershaw left his start
back
at San Francisco with low back pain. He felt discomfort while he was warming up before the bottom of the fifth inning. So there's that. You know, these guys are in their 30s now, approaching.
Hey, at least in that Dodgers game, Joey Gallo got himself an oppo hit. They had the shift over. He got himself a badly, badly needed
there you
base
go.
Hit.
Give yourself a little half second. Knock it the other way.
Gallo might be the recipient of this week's biggest dub of the week.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Rangers got five innings from Cole Reagans, though. Biggest dub coming up at 340. He deserves some consideration as well. One unearned run came across. They beat the White Sox 3-2. Leody Taveras had an RBI single and a run scored. Bubba Thompson was 1-for-3 in his a big league debut. But, yeah, there's no chance for the Rangers to be successful and come out and be a winning team again if they can't produce pitchers.
Right.
And over the last 15 years, what is it, Derek Holland and Martin Perez? Is there anybody else? I'm sure there's got to be a couple of others.
They've done a great job of going out and getting guys that are kind of beat up and kind of get 1 year out. But I mean, to your point,
Mike Minor, Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, that's something that Baskey always talks about. When are they going to develop a pitcher? When are they going to? Maybe what they have in the minor leagues now, that development will start. Yeah. There's some questions about, really, is it the right staff, you know, down there in the minor leagues helping these kids to develop?
Well, here's their crop right now, right? We've been waiting on Reagans. We've been waiting on Cole Wynn. They had Kumar Rocker out there for media availability as well. We'll see him and Jack Leiter in a couple of years get to come up. Maybe we were hoping next year. Leiter hasn't had as great of a season at AA Frisco as I'm sure the organization would have liked. We'll see how he bounces back next year. But Cole Reagans, just the 10th pitcher in Rangers history to log 5 or more innings without allowing an earned run in his major league debut. So this organization, going over since the 70s when they came to Texas, it's not like they've been incredible at developing their own talent. But what a debut for Cole Reagans. I think that the storyline with him having to come back from multiple Tommy Johns, that had to have been an amazing feeling for him.
All right, good stuff. Can we do some of that that Mavericks fan survey next, Chiafalo?
Heck, we can.
We
Let's
meant
do
to get
it.
That to a couple of times yesterday, and things just kept on popping up. So we'll do some Mavs fan survey. We'll get you the G-Bag of the Day curated by Lucius coming up at 2:30 here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 10 minutes here on 105.3 The Fan. Chiafalo has some takeaways from the Mavericks fan survey that was published. Segment's brought to you by Soda, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you are hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or go online at truckwreck.com. Now here he is, Chiafalo.
Thank you very much. Here we go, boys. Who will be the Mavericks' second most important player next season? Assuming we all agree that Luka's number one.
I preferred important.
Who is who's the second most important player on the team?
Wow. I'm going to go with Christian Wood.
Amen.
It's got to be.
Everybody's saying Christian Wood?
It's okay. Got to be Christian Wood,
Christian
right?
Wood.
The options were Christian Wood, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Dorian Finney-Smith.
Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie also in consideration. And this is some wishful thinking a little bit, but I think Christian Wood is absolutely going to thrive and be a breakout star, not only for the Mavs, but across the league.
I tend to agree with you. I think him next to Luka is going to be an absolute game changer for that dude. And in the contract year, you know that he's got to dial it in and have a kick-ass season. I think he'll do that. Most of the fans actually said, though, 42.5% of the fans
Dinwiddie. Yeah.
And I guess it's because he's their other ball handler.
Second ball handler. Yeah.
And so as the roster is currently constructed, I can understand that angle, but I still feel like Christian Wood was the biggest guy from an acquisition standpoint that you brought in, and he's a guy that you are kind of expecting to be able to replace the Jalen Brunson points.
I wouldn't put it past Dinwiddie being better than Wood. You know, he's got to get that knee right.
I agree.
They also say, though, with Wood that he has to mature. That's a big issue with those guys. If you talk to the folks over at the Mavs, they feel like that there's some things. I mean, as talented as he is, they keep talking about him. He wants to be a better player. He doesn't want to be known as a good player on a bad team. Now he gets away from the Rockets. But you ask the Mavericks, the guys over there, the guys that work with him, he's coming out and saying, hey, I want to be a good player on a good team. But there is like they're also saying he's got to mature though.
He just needed to get away from those losers in Houston. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? They were holding him down.
Absolutely.
No, I appreciate the insight. No, it's good content.
How has your confidence level in Cuban's Mavericks ownership changed over the past decade? So would you describe yourself as much less confident? Just less confident, no change at all, more confident, or much more confident in Cuban?
I'm back to being as confident as I was 10 years ago after they'd won the championship, and I thought so much of Donnie and Rick and Mark as a triangle of trust. It definitely was way low last year and through the destruction of the end of that Donnie run. But now I'm at an all-time high again. I feel great about these guys, as good as I've ever felt.
We talking about the front office or just Cuban?
Cuban's Mavericks ownership.
Okay, so that's not the front office right?
It's Cuban.
My faith is with him because of the hires he's made. But if you're talking about the front office, you better deliver on those relationships and things like that you have.
Yeah, I think for me it's no change. They still didn't end up really doing anything in free agency. I loved the Christian Wood trade. I thought that was a no-brainer, but I think it's still very wait and see, right? This is a very Luka Doncic or bust team, and getting Luka and having him is obviously fantastic. He's a top three player in the NBA, in my opinion. He's in the conversation for number one, but I think no change. I'm still kind of feeling, we'll see.
I mean, a year ago, like, Mark had been in charge. He was listening to Vegas Bob. He was running the draft. Donnie was like this legend who was barely being acknowledged. That was horrible, you know? A year later, they've turned nothing into Christian Wood, and they got rid of Porzingis, you know?
That part of it, yeah.
The light bulb come on for Mark.
Yeah, but I also feel like that if you don't have players in this league, you don't have chance. And he was billed. Now, maybe this general manager is better. Maybe I wasn't given enough credit for being able to evaluate. I was hopeful that all these relationships, it seems like relationships build these teams now.
Yeah.
Not your Jerry West eye.
It does sound like another trade's coming, maybe two. That's what the insiders are saying.
Let's go.
Agreed. Yeah, this is not the roster as currently constructed will look much different. I don't know if it'll be before the season starts, but by the trade deadline and by the time this team's actually going on a playoff run, you will have a couple of new faces here that will hopefully be big-time contributors. I did find it interesting, though, that 39% of voters are less confident in Mark Cuban and his ownership today than they were maybe a decade ago.
Less? Wow.
And they're just being haters there.
And then 32% would say no change at all, feel basically the same way. 20% say much less confident. It's only 9% of voters that say they're more confident now than they were a decade ago.
Wow.
So I find that to be a little bit interesting. In regards to the confidence in the front office, like Nico Harrison, on a scale of 1 to 5, what's your confidence meter in Nico in the front office? For me, I would say at least probably a 4.
You nailed it.
I'm going to go 3 until you tell me how you're going to get more players here.
Right. I'm thinking 3 as well. I'm optimistic, but sure. I kind of need to see it before I'm going to go above 3.
He's off to a good start. I mean, you're going to have to go get me a superstar. You're going to have to swing this thing. You're going to have to convince somebody that could go somewhere to one of these big-time teams – to show up in your backyard and play basketball.
Yeah.
If you do that, then my confidence goes to a five on you.
Yeah, that's going to be next level if they get one of these big fish to say, hey, trade me here,
yeah,
and
exactly.
This is where I want to go.
No question.
Free agent guy. But, like, I kind of agree with Dawson in terms of, man, being able to flip Porzingis and able to just give away practically nothing to get Christian Wood.
There you go.
My confidence has gone up quite a bit. But
no
the
doubt.
Three or four, I think I can totally understand that. What about the confidence meter, 1 to 5, in the Jason Kidd coaching?
4.
Well over 4 for me. I think
4.8.
I think he's the right person.
I don't think he's the right person. 5, and to me it's like 5-year champion, right?
First year he took him to the NBA
conference finals. I mean, 4.5, I'm not going to fight you.
No.
But you're not perfect yet.
Probably should give him a – yeah, I don't think there was – at one point in time, this team wasn't very good around, like, the beginning of January. They were kind of scuffling along there.
What
right?
he
yeah,
did completely flipping the defensive mentality for a team that was one of the worst defensive teams in basketball, and then you make them a top 10, an unbelievable coaching job.
Inspired Luka. Look at Luka's body right now. Okay.
Dude. Yeah.
The defense. He held Luka accountable under the highest of pressures.
Yeah.
He won a playoff series without Luka. You were beating the Jazz. Back comes Luka.
Right.
You know, I think I'll take it that you can't be a 5 because you haven't won the championship and all that. But, yeah, I think Jason
Damn
Kidd's
close.
A top 5 coach right now.
Damn
in the league.
Close.
But you got to leave some room there before. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I didn't feel like that he was the reason why they lost in the conference finals.
I didn't either.
I agree.
You just didn't have enough horses, I don't think.
How confident are you, scale 1 to 5, that the Mavericks will win a championship in the next 5 seasons?
1 to 5?
1 to 5.
4.5.
Okay.
5.
Solid 4.
Wow, okay. You guys are even more confident than the fan base.
Luka's too good, in my opinion, not to win one.
Yeah, yeah. The results came in where it was kind of neck and neck with a 3 confidence from the voters there that they're going to win a title in the next 5 years. And I think that's fair because it's very difficult to win a championship.
No
a
question.
Lot of things have to go right for you. And I think there's still kind of a collective understanding this roster has some things that need to happen to it before you can feel like, okay, we're going to be one of these promised land
but
teams.
But in 5 years, you'd like to think that happens.
No, for sure.
And if it doesn't, uh-oh, we've done something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, at least get to the finals. If you just told me getting to the finals, I'd probably be closer to the 5 there.
And stupid things can happen. A super team can form before your very eyes, and you're like, what the hell?
Right.
How
is
John Morant on Jokic's team now?
Yeah.
How far do the Mavericks need to reach in the postseason for next season to be considered successful? Do we need the linear progression of, okay, you did the Western Conference Finals last year, now you better at least get through it and end up at the finals?
The West gets healthy again, man. The West gets healthy.
I think if you make a return trip to the Conference Finals, it's another hell of a year.
Yeah.
I think there's a case to be made that you get to the semifinals and it's you look respectable. Eye test tells you that.
Depending on who you play and what the series
the
is like. Yeah.
What if you're just top 3 in the conference? And then you
but
know,
if you're one and done in the playoffs, then I mean that's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, we kick the Cowboys in the junk about that, don't we?
Yeah,
yeah. Assert yourself over the 82 game regular season that you're going to be a contender, win a playoff series. If you get a tough matchup in round 2, I could still see that being a successful season. But make it to the finals, I think, has to be your goal.
Yeah.
Like, that's
got to
be what
Always.
The team's thinking right now.
Always.
We're going championship or bust.
100%. The voters went 47%. If you reach the conference finals again, that's successful. And then the second one is reach the conference semifinals.
Well, maybe we can have time for more of that a little bit later on. That's fun. Even though we're in football mode, a training camp is now within 2 months away, and we're very excited about that as well with you MFFLs. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, curated by Lucius, presented by CBD American Shaman. Sir.
Yeah. What up?
Happy Friday.
Let him off.
Yeah.
What it do, man? When we last left off, Phillies analyst Ruben Amaro Jr. has some facts about Pete Rose. That's our winner. Contested through the Tolos. Tolos don't like that. They say Jared should have go ahead and swept this week.
Damn straight.
We'll make him honorary.
Hey.
Well, you better write it down.
As long as you write it down, my guy, you could do what you need to do in the nation.
In progress.
All right. Phillies analyst Ruben Amaro Jr. has some facts about Pete Rose. The best nickname in the game, Charlie Hustle.
Interestingly, Pete Rose used to use a bat that was manufactured in Japan, the Mizuno bat, when I was bat boying for the Phillies, and it was the hardest wood I had ever touched.
How about it?
Yeah. Knock on wood, baby.
Was there some chuckles going on by the other broadcaster after he said that in the real time, like on the air? There had to be some side eyes and some chuckles going on there.
I actually think that Ruben was kind of worried he couldn't use the word Japanese. Then he kind of, Japanese, you know.
Easy, bro.
I mean, I'm just saying there was a little bit of a hesitation there.
I don't want you to say what you thought he was going to say or something.
You know what?
Pause.
I'm pausing. Yes, I'm pausing. But I thought there was a little hesitation there. Yeah.
Well, it's good for him to be aware of what he was about to say.
He was, unlike me, I'm never aware of what I'm about to say.
I'm so glad. Hey, man, you are getting good at this radio thing, bro.
Thank you.
Because you brought it right to my next G-Bag of the day right here. The man is brilliant, bro. Broadus wants us to know that Anthony Barr wore number 11 in college.
Mm. Yes.
He wants you to know. He wants you to know.
Anthony Barr also going to be wearing number 51. We found out as well. As that deal is now official, the medical was passed, and we're excited to finally get Anthony Barr as a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, because I guess the double nickels is with Leighton Vander Esch, and Anthony Barr was number 11 at UCLA, but of course that's Micah's number. I wonder if we'll get, once the roster trim down happens, the season starts, I wonder if Anthony Barr will switch up the number, maybe go with one of the single digits, because 51... it's not the most aesthetically pleasing number. He's kind of an aesthetically pleasing guy of one of these players that just looks badass.
I'm trying to think of what, maybe 11. 15?
He wore 11 in college.
Right. Thank you for listening to Eric and what he just said there.
Thank you for paying attention to the program.
No, did you say 11?
He just did.
Yeah. Sure did. How'd that happen, you know, Brian? Take us inside your mind.
Yeah, I was looking down at my phone, and I didn't hear you say 11. And again, you're right, because we were talking about how numbers look on people.
Right.
And I was thinking of the 1 and the 5 and all that, and I was thinking about 11. But, yeah, I was looking down at my phone. I wasn't paying attention to you. My apologies. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm an idiot.
Hey, you're forgiven, man, because the most egregious not listening moment of the week here in Oxnard was when I double asked the Nadell question.
Did you double ass it or ask it?
Asked.
Okay.
I struggle with that word. The K in there is very difficult sometimes.
Double cheeked up right there.
Yeah, I learned that. I did not know about that. Choppy taught us double cheeked up this week. Yeah, he kept saying it. That and another word.
He stays up to date on some interesting things.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, really.
Shaq caught a body this week. I got this from my teammates right here. One of you fellas sent this to me. I don't know which one.
I got you, bro.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Shaq caught a body when he jumped on the Rich Eisen show talking about KD.
Uh-oh. If you were the Celtics, would you trade for Durant? Would you cough up Jaylen Brown and others for Durant right now, Shaquille?
No. Not at all. We have a young nucleus that we can build and we can trust. I'd keep them. And I don't know what everybody else was watching, but Jaylen was hanging pretty tough with Durant. Looked like that to me. So, no. The answer is no.
That answer is no, then.
Excuse me. The answer is hell no.
I think that is a bigger Shaq level than just no. Which team do you think should go ahead and offer the package for him?
I mean, when you put a house together, you should live in it. You know, you was the one who hired the architect. You was the one who got the other architect from Philadelphia. So you as a leadership make it work. But you don't want to make it work, I guess you go buy another house. So I know he's going to probably try to get to a contender. It's easier that way.
Man, that was spicy.
The hatred for KD is coming strong amongst the former players and current players. It really is, and it surprised me because they've given him a pass on everything. But this one here, suggesting that they shouldn't give up Jaylen Brown for KD? Are you kidding me? The hope of getting back to a finals where we just got smoked by a real team? I don't want to do that because we have a great nucleus. You have nucleus of superstar betas. That's what Tatum and Brown are. You have a chance to get an alpha, a real contender for best player in the game, a player that has, won multiple championships, finals MVPs. To me, this is crazy how much momentum this thing is building that the Celtics should not. They will regret that. You can have Brown and Tatum together for the next decade, maybe sniff the finals a couple of more times, but those guys aren't putting you over the top. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to get a real shark in this game.
I agree with you, but a lot of people would say KD, alpha skill set, beta mentality.
Fair.
And so that's probably something that's
been proven to be true.
Yeah, I guess so.
Shaq, he thinks he's soft. That's why he doesn't want. He thinks the player gets a lot of notoriety and a lot of credit for being, you know, who he is.
Great player, but
soft player.
He is mentally soft.
Wow. KD is as hot as it got for LeBron James and all the criticism that he took. Maybe KD's coming along late for quite a bit of this as well. Lucius, any other challengers?
Yeah, the loud ass Cowboys fan from training camp yesterday. Check it out.
No, can one of you, you know, turn around and try to identify exactly who this person is?
I did not turn around and look, because when you acknowledge crowd, they totally then start to freak out. And so
let's get that acknowledged.
Exactly.
Here.
So Chia,
let's
follow.
See what we can do here.
Yeah,
boys.
Chia, follow, and
we said female. I think we got a. I don't know.
Yeah,
might be. I think we got a. I think it's a bro.
I was standing right there.
Is it
a bro?
Right. Here we go. Right now.
Is it a bro?
It's still undetermined.
It's a Pat.
Bit of a tweener.
I thought so, bro.
We're in transition.
Okay. We're in transition.
Okay, it's all good.
Big Cowboys fans, all that matters.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. We are live down here on the field with the fan screamer. You're being picked up on our radio station right now, and people want to hear from you. So I'd like to know, what is your name?
I'm Alex.
Alex, is this
local? No, I'm a local here in Oxnard, California, right here, the second home of.
A name like Alex can be anything, too.
Could
by the
be
way.
Anything. That's right. Could be. That's what I thought. You're absolutely right.
Yep. Versatile name.
Very versatile.
The Cowboys.
How old?
Let's go today, guys. Looking great out there.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Whoa. 25 years old. Are you generally a screamer? Do you consider yourself a screamer on and off the field?
On and off the field, man. I got an award in high school for being the loudest kid in ROTC. Let me tell you, I'm going to be out there screaming my lungs off when I get to go see them in Dallas. It's going to be great.
Whoa. Hey,
watch your mouth, woman.
All right, there we go. Yeah. Right,
well,
three live mics at Krusty's Corner. General, take it home for us today.
The pride of Oxnard, ROTC, our final nominee. Shaq with Rich Eisen on KD. Broadus wants us to know Anthony Barr wore number 11.
God.
Ruben Amaro Jr. I'm going to vote for Broadus. You know, I want to pick my guy up in a situation like this at all times. Chiafalo, how about you?
I'll go ahead and take Alex the fan.
All right.
Screamer.
We are tied at one, Lucius.
Yeah, Alex the screamer on and off the field. Are you a screamer? Yeah, I surely am.
Absolutely.
2-1, Wooly Bully.
I'm going the screamer on and off the field as well.
3-1, Brian.
Let's make it a clean deal for here. I'm going with Alex.
Score. Yeah. I can't believe we're not supporting you.
I'm glad you're not.
You wanted everybody to make sure they knew what number Anthony Barr was going
to
be.
I need to pay
wearing
a little bit better attention when we do these shows.
Anthony Barr wore number 11. I just want to
damn
you know,
right he wore 11. Don't you ever forget that.
Let's get Jared back.
Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are we headed, sir?
Yeah, let's see if we got our questions answered before we get out of here. We'll talk about that next.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for Brian Broaddus in Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Bobcat of North Texas, built to tackle your toughest projects. Now, here he is, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion, Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sean. Thanks to the folks at Bobcat who've been with us this entire camp. Really, really appreciate everything you guys have done.
Doing great work.
Yes, sir. All right. I teased this about questions that we had, and I want to say something here. And maybe to start it off, that we didn't really think about. Did we think about this kicking situation before we got here?
No, I think we were just happy that Zuerlein wasn't back.
Yeah.
Mistake? Mm-hmm. Are we now in a situation? Because we could have talked about, and we'll get into the wide receivers or guards, or do they have enough depth? But are we to the point right now where this is something that's holding this team hostage, and we haven't even played a game yet?
Yes. It's the number one biggest flaw on the team.
They've been negligent since Dan Bailey walked out that door. They've really just not spent enough time on it at all. You know, and I think maybe they get a little bit of a pass because you're bringing in a rookie in Garibay, who's had some success, and you're like, okay, we're getting some fresh blood in here. Let's take a look. Maybe they found something, but I don't think they can find good kickers, Brian. I don't think they try hard enough at it, and I don't think they have anybody in the franchise that's got an eye for them.
They're relying on Bones to go out there, and they're trusting him to bring in, you know, Brian Anger was a success. Zuerlein was his guy that didn't work out, and he went out and handpicked Garibay. So if Garibay doesn't end up working out, and right now it hasn't, as good of a special teams coach as he is, and we've seen improvement. We saw blocked kicks last year, more so than we've ever seen with the Cowboys. The coverage units were better. But, you can't allow him anymore and put faith in him to go out and get his guy.
He's a football coach. He's not a play caller.
Sure.
And he's not a kicking coach, right? Kicking coaches and football coaches are different people.
Yeah, I was interested because all I'd ever heard about Garibay was, boy, I'll tell you what, hey, he's, you know, they talk Cade York and all that, all these kickers around the country in college football. And then Garibay was like under the radar. And so I'm thinking, well, that might be a sneaky little signing that the Cowboys have.
Sure.
You know? But, man, I don't know. I don't know how you could go into a game right now with these two and be confident. And maybe that's what the preseason, I guess, is for.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this went from something I'd never even thought about really talking about before we got here 10 days ago to now I have legitimate concerns that they will mess this thing up with that position. And as close as games as they play and how this sometimes this head coach puts these kickers in some crummy situations that have to make field goals to win games, I worry about that. That is something that I hope that they fix this thing.
They're worried about it, too, all those mojo moments.
Yeah.
It's all kicking situations.
Yeah. Well, they better figure that thing out real quick or they're gonna cause
it has
them
their
some,
attention.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. How do you guys feel about the overall depth of the team as you look at it? I'm not, you know, when you start to look at the twos and the threes, are there somebody, you know, we talk about star players and stuff, but they play a lot of players out here. They rotate. If you're not a starter, you might be the fullback in a drill or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they do a lot. How do you guys feel about the overall depth of what you've seen? I think personally the depth on defense
way better.
Way better than what we have on offense.
Agreed.
Right now.
Yeah, 100%. I think when you're talking about the receivers right now and you're talking about the offensive line, that's where we cannot afford the injuries. And it's a shame we had the Willetsco situation go down. You have the James Washington. Some of these young guys are all lumped together, the Fajokos, the Vashers. Noah Brown is a vet, but he's kind of lumped in that group too of like, hopefully these guys can step up. But defensively, I feel confident in every level, especially now with the addition at linebacker with Anthony Barr. It's like, okay, I feel good at the corner, the safety, the D-line. I feel like they got a bunch of guys. There's going to be a couple guys that get cut from this team defensively that are good players.
Well, okay, we say that every year. I make a big deal about that as a former scout, and then they get cut, and then it's like nobody ever claims the guy.
Sure.
You know? So, but maybe they actually, because I think the positions you're talking about where they have some strength and some depth is defensive line. Personnel guys hate putting offense and defensive linemen on waivers. They hate it because it's the hardest position to find. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we've got to move on from a guy. We've got to move on from this guy. You know, and then you don't, the guy, you know, you end up bringing back, or maybe the guy you keep and is not as good as the guy you got rid of.
Right. The offensive depth is a massive concern, right? It's got to be.
At what position is it a massive concern to you?
At every single one besides running back and tight end, I think. At quarterback, I don't think any of them were good, personally. I don't think Greer's any good. I don't think Cooper Rush won a game last year, so it's hard to just completely bury him. But mm-hmm. I don't
have
think
– like 20 points.
He's yeah. Eh.
Defense,
you know,
won that game.
I don't think any of the backups are really worthy of playing time at the NFL level. DiNucci's not any good. Matt Farniok has been super disappointing. I was really excited to see him. He has not looked that good, and that might be your backup guard. The Willetsco injury was a bummer. You know, Ball
started off good, and I think he's just kind of been okay. Okay,
you know,
so that might be a position again. That offensive tackle.
Yeah, offensive line.
Then we had a question.
Line.
The offensive line.
I don't know. And then center. I really thought maybe we'd see a little bit more of a battle there, but they've let Biotis just be out there, and we've seen no competition whatsoever at the center spot. So, and then receiver. I do think Simi Fajoko's had a good camp. Noah Brown's had a good camp. I like what we've seen from Jalen Tolbert, but we got to wait and see until we get into game action before we actually really feel confident about any of this.
Yeah, they're just okay on the defensive line, I think. And even then, their depth, it's not like it's guys that are, like, pushing hard to be starters. It's, you know, guys that I guess could be starters on a really bad team. You know, that's the kind of depth that they have right now. At that spot, I think that's fairly normal, though. I don't think it's bad in comparison to the rest of the league.
Yeah,
you know, just not a plus.
Yeah, I just felt like to me that defensive line. I do like some of the. I think the rotations they have are actually pretty good.
Me too.
Is it the starter caliber you're talking about? No, but I think it's if it's rotation and it's not having to play 50 plays a game, you're playing 20 plays a game. I think that shows better.
They've stacked them up like club sandwiches.
They've tried.
They did.
How do you guys feel like what you've seen from scheme offensively and defensively? Has that answered any of your questions on offense or defensive scheme?
Yeah, it's answered my question that Kellen Moore is going to be fired at the end of this year. That's the
You think Mike McCarthy can save this?
No. They're doing the same thing. And we know what's going to happen when they come up against good teams.
Right. He's not going to be able to save it because I don't think that he's a good play caller either. I think there's a reason why he stopped calling the plays. I think there's a reason why he wasn't eager. One, Broadus, I know you pointed out, it might be just pure laziness, but there's a reason why he wasn't eager to just take over the play calling.
I don't think he wants to teach a scheme. Right. I don't think he does.
And I think it shows you the lack of faith that he has in Kellen Moore that all of a sudden now, not prompted, he goes out of his way to say, oh, I miss calling the plays. Like, no, you don't, or else you'd have done it already, right? So last year you had your opportunity. The offense was in shambles, and you did nothing about it. So all of a sudden now, with all the rumors going around, your Dan Quinn's lurking, and you got Sean Payton out there. He knows all the chatter, and now he's going out of his way to say, oh, I miss calling the plays. So I am a little bit concerned. But, Eric, we have seen a little bit of optimism with the utilization of Tony Pollard, getting CeeDee Lamb in space.
Yes.
That kind of stuff has me feeling just a little bit better that maybe Kellen Moore's tweaking things here and there.
I think from like the emphasis of getting the ball into your playmakers' hands, I think is something that has been so loud for so long that now they're doing it. And, okay, we're going to make sure we get CeeDee Lamb his touches in any way possible. Same thing with Tony Pollard, moving him around a little bit. There's not enough of the pre-snap window dressing for me. And what we see a lot of these new age offenses doing. So that's a little bit disappointing, but I had such low expectations coming in that I actually feel a little bit more positive about it because of the way they've used Pollard and the way they've used CeeDee Lamb.
And just a real quick little answer here, real quick. How do you feel about Dak, Gavin?
Good. Better than last year.
Cheech?
Yeah, better. Better. Absolutely.
MVP, baby.
Yeah, I think physically he looks really, really good. Let's see what happens on the mental side, but I like what I've seen so far.
There it is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, 2:40. Brian's Insights in Training Camp, brought to you by Bobcat of North Texas, built to tackle your toughest projects. Football Friday is presented by Blue Nail Roofing, and NFL Chew or Fart is coming up next with Chia Follow here in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.